He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Back in ancient Greece, a couple centuries before Christ was born, there was a mathematician named Archimedes. And he was one of the mathematicians in the kingdom, and there was this problem that the king had had, and Archimedes wanted to figure it out. So the king had given this block of gold to a goldsmith, and he knew how much that gold weighed. And he had said to the goldsmith, make me a crown out of this. And so doing just that, the goldsmith went and he welded a crown and he made a beautiful crown and he returned it to the king later, and the king looked at it and he felt it and he placed it upon his head and he just couldn't help but think, I think I gave him more gold than this. But they had no way of measuring it because it was an odd shape. They didn't have the necessary tools to be able to actually figure out if it was the same volume that he had given him. And so he had put this task before his kingdom of, somebody help me to know if this goldsmith has cheated me or not. But like I said, there was no way of knowing yet. They didn't have a method to measure the volume of an irregular shape. And so Archimedes, the mathematician, he thought about it and he thought about it and he continued to think about it. And just nothing was coming to him. He didn't know how to solve this problem. And so maybe it's just me, but whenever I get stressed, I kind of turn to a similar thing. He started the bath and he filled it up with hot water and he laid down to relax. And it was as he was relaxing and the water was rising and flowing over the tub where it hit him. He got up, he jumped out of the tub and he started running through the town screaming, "Eureka! Eureka!" Which basically is the Greek equivalent to, "I've got it," or "I found it," which is absolutely great that Archimedes had figured out the solution by placing it in water. You could tell the volume that was displaced would be the same volume as the crown. And so Archimedes had this epiphany, or this realization, this revelation, this sudden understanding of how this could be. Now, while I think that's great that he had the realization, I probably would have thought to at least like put on a towel or something before running through the town telling everybody that I found it, that I found the solution. On a not exactly the same scale of importance, I myself had an epiphany just 2 weeks ago. I had come home from the store and I unlocked the door and I opened it and went out to my car and continued to bring some of my groceries in and get them set up and everything, and went about the rest of my day and went to bed that night and got up the next morning. And where was it that I had to go? I had to go somewhere. And so I got dressed, got everything ready. I did the 3-pocket pat down, which if you're a guy, I think most of you understand that, where you know, phone, wallet, keys, and then you continue to go about. And so I did that, phone, wallet, keys, and then I had to do it again, phone, wallet, there was no keys. And so I was kind of nervous, and I was like, where did I put my keys? Now, I have a spare set of keys, but I prefer to not use those because if I lose the spare set, then I'm really out of luck. And so I spent probably half an hour just looking everywhere. I looked at all the normal places where when I come home, I put my keys. I looked on the coffee table. I looked at like the end tables by the couch. I looked on the counter. I looked in my bedroom. I looked in the office. I even went downstairs and looked in all the rooms and just thinking, where did I put these keys? And for the life of me, I could not find them. And I was probably getting more irritated than I should have. It was kind of embarrassing. But finally, I just sat down. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put on my coat, grab my spare keys, do what I've got to do, which I can't even remember what it was at this point, but go out, do what I've got to do, come home, and look with a fresh set of eyes. And so I put on my coat, and I put my hands in my pocket to realize that I never took my keys out of my pocket. It was just one of those sudden epiphanies where I probably should have looked in my pockets. And so those are just two different examples of epiphanies that have affected people. Some have affected globally and throughout the centuries, such as Archimedes, and the other really just affected me, but it was still an important epiphany, I think. And so today, it is the Sunday before Epiphany, which falls on the last day of Christmas, which is January 6th. And so when that happens, we observe the day on the Sunday before. And so today, we celebrate this Christian holy day that's known as the Feast of the Epiphany. And now, when I first heard of Epiphany when I was younger, I always thought, man, that's a really weird name. Like, why do we call this holiday Epiphany? When I was really younger, I used to think it was like Tiffany, or it was like a name, and there was some biblical character that I didn't know about named Epiphany. And then I got confused, because when I was in high school, different English teachers would talk about these literary characters having an epiphany. And so it was weird for a while as I was trying to figure out why is it called the Feast of the Epiphany? And then that was when I realized we call it that because this was an epiphany. It was a revelation. It was a realization, a manifestation. Or another word that is directly related to epiphany is the definition of an appearance, or especially of a deity. And so it's known by the name of Epiphany because this day celebrates when the Magi found the appearance of Christ, when they found the light that had appeared to the world. It's also named this day because this was the day where the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known to Gentile people, people that weren't a part of the Jewish community. This is where the first non-Jews had ever worshipped Christ. These men that had traveled afar from the Far East, the Creator and the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Jewish people had expected a Messiah to come. But the thing was, the Jewish people expected the Messiah to come for the Jewish people. They never thought that he would come for non-Jews. The Jews were God's people. Everyone else was outside of that. But when those wise men came and they kneeled before Christ, it revealed that the good news of the incarnation of Jesus Christ was for all of the people of God, not just those that were in his original set-aside group. The Feast of the Epiphany is an interesting day when I think about it, because this is a day when the people who shouldn't have known about Jesus, those that shouldn't have been privy to the knowledge of God, this was the day that they showed that they actually did know who he was and that they did know him. And these historically were unsure of how many wise men it is, but throughout tradition we always say three because of the gifts that they brought. And so it seems like these three wise men may have actually really known who this Christ child was. Because if we look at the gifts that they brought him, and we just sang it in We Three Kings, we talk about the gold that was brought, and we sang about the frankincense and the myrrh. Well, when we look at this, the gold was a gift that was given to a king. And so it seems that the Magi had realized that this child who was in their presence was indeed royalty, that indeed he was the king. Frankincense is an incense that's burned in worship, and it's also used when giving offerings to God. Psalms talk about, may my prayers be lifted as incense before you. It was something that was pleasing to God, and so they brought this gift that was to be burned before God. And the last gift they brought was myrrh, which is also a type of incense, but it's a little different. And myrrh was used in the ancient Near Eastern world to cover the stench of death. When someone was died, they would put myrrh around them. And when they were in the tomb, they would put myrrh in the tomb. And this was to cover the smell of death. And so it seems that these three wise men had recognized that this Christ child was indeed a king with the gift of gold. It seems that they had recognized that he was indeed God with the gift of frankincense. And it seems like they also recognized that he was indeed man who would die with this gift of myrrh. And so it's interesting to me that these wise men weren't supposed to be in the know. They weren't in the people group that God had originally set aside and said, you will be my people. They weren't even geographically near them. Yet somehow this people, these three wise men, came and they knew more about what was going on even than some of those who were in the know. And so they somehow, without knowing God, managed to recognize the signs that led to him and recognized who God was when they saw him in that small little infant form. And so I thought about this as I was preparing for this sermon, that those who weren't in the know ended up doing what was right, while those who were not in the know did what was wrong. And I just realized, and this might be bad that I'm 12 minutes into my sermon, but I just realized that I never read the scripture for today. I apologize because I'm sick, and that's a little embarrassing. So to recap before I go any further, I'm preaching on the story of the three wise men that came, as I'm sure is made clear by this point. And I apologize for skipping over the scripture, and so I'm going to take a minute, admit my mistake, and go back and read that, because I think it's important for us. And I'm going to chalk this one up to the cold. I told you guys 6 weeks ago that I'd make plenty of mistakes. So thank you all for continuing to bear with me. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Skipping over a few verses, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were ages 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time that he learned from the Magi. And so, again, I apologize for completely skipping over the passage before starting to preach on it, but I think one of the things that we see in this passage is that, again, the ones who weren't in the know ended up doing what was right, while the ones who were in the know ended up being so wrong. And so we see on the outside the Magi, those who saw the bright light and they came to worship Christ. They'd seen this light and they followed it, and they traveled from faraway lands just so that they could bow down at the light of truth. They were the ones who got it right. They were the ones that they saw this sign that they thought would lead to God, and so they followed it no matter where it went. And today they're known as wise men. And they were probably well educated beforehand, and they were scholars in the Far East, and that might be one reason why we refer to them as wise men. But I think they're also considered wise men because they followed the light and they embraced it. And when they finally saw where the light had come from, they fell down before it in worship. These outsiders had wondered at what the bright light led to and what it could really lead to even further. St. Gregory the Great, who was an early church father, says this: "Wisdom is born of wonder." The wise men had seen the light, and they wondered, and they wandered, and they gained the wisdom that this Christ child was indeed both God and man and king. Now, there's some in this story who should have got it right. They were in the know. They were the high priest. They were the ones that they had read the scriptures. They had been educated in the scriptures. They had been educated in the law, and they had been educated in the ways of God. And so you think they would have been the one to have got it right, who would have went to the Christ child and knelt before him and said, "Finally, our Messiah had come." But instead, we don't see them doing anything like that. We see Herod gathering them up and saying, "Tell me where this child's to be found." And maybe it was out of fear. We can't really be sure, but what we do know is that they gave in to Herod's demands to know where this child was. And so they had told him where to look and all of this other stuff. And maybe they didn't know this would happen, but they ended up being a part of a tyrannical king who ended up murdering small children ages 2 and under because he was afraid that one of these kids might take his power, that one of these small children might be this Messiah that they were so hoping for. And so the ones who weren't in the know ended up getting it right, while the ones that were in the know ended up taking place in, or ended up being a part of brutal, brutal fear and misuse of power. And so while the wise men embraced the light and they knelt down before it, worshiping the Christ child, Herod had seen the light as well. And so he went to the high priest who knew about the light. But instead of embracing the warmth of the light, he tried to extinguish it. He wanted to remain in the dark and be the one that people would look to. But if you recall from our text last week, the light came into the world and darkness could not extinguish it. And so there's two questions that I've pondered as I was working on this sermon. And the first question was, how are we responding to the light that appears over the Christ child? When we see that sign leading to Christ, how are we responding? The other question that I had been pondering was simply, how are we responding to the outsiders who are also responding to the light in positive ways? Even if it might be different from what we were expecting, even if it's people that we wouldn't expect to be in the know, yet somehow they're finding the way to God. How are we responding and reacting to those that are considered outside of our clique, outside of our group, outside of those that we think are in the people of God? One of my friends on Facebook last night, he and I were talking, and he said, he said this in a conversation that we were having on a pastor's page. We as the church often say that we should sit and eat with sinners, but when those sinners don't align with how we think they should, our idea of sitting and eating with them tends to evaporate. And so as he said that, I continue to think about, yeah, the Magi weren't in the people of God, yet they ended up doing what it took to come to know God. And they ended up being the ones that had it right. In today's church standards, we would consider the Magi to be sinners. They practiced magic. They practiced astrology. They practice all this stuff that 1,500 years later the church would kill people for. Yet they were the ones that disregarded all of that just to follow this star to find the king who had come to earth. And so that his statement just continued to make me think. And it has continued to encourage me to remember that the ones who get it right aren't always the ones that are in the know. And that we are to continue to embrace those that are seeking the light, regardless of how far outside of the know they might be, that those who are looking for the light will find it. And they might find it in ways that we don't expect. Yeah, I think of some of my friends who have come to become Christians through taking online tests through Facebook. I remember a friend asked me one day, she texted me, "Hey Brent, what's an evangelical?" And of course I had to step back and think, well, what do you mean? This is kind of a loaded question. And she had said that over the last couple of years she had been thinking more and more about it, and she didn't know where to turn, and so she had been looking online of different type of quizzes as to what type of Christian she could be. And although I don't think that's the usual way that people come to know Christ, she saw the light and she started to follow it. I have friends who are meeting at a pub this morning, and that's where they're worshiping. And to many of us, that might not look like the ideal place to find Christ, but they're thriving and they're growing, and people are coming to know Christ there. And so no matter how far outside of the know people seem to be, let us continue to embrace those that are seeking the light as we too continue to seek the light. Would you pray with me? God, we have heard of your grace. You're the shaper of the stars. We have heard of your grace from those who are set free from injustice, from our children who whisper the sounds of joy, and from greeters of the dawn's fresh start. We hear of your grace from late risers who listen to the stories of the needy, and we have heard of your light, the bright star in the morning, which can illumine the shadows of our own lives, which can show us the path to the heart of God, which can point us to the way to where we can become servants of the gospel. We have heard your promised peace, wisdom's radiance. We have heard of your peace which can end all war, that can heal all of our hearts, that peace which can conquer our fears and flood us with faith, that peace which can enter into our lives and overwhelm us with hope. We have heard of you, Almighty God, God in community, Holy One, and we will proclaim your glory to all. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.